to our third week of Advent. Can you believe it? The third week of Advent already. And as excited as I am for Christmas and Christmas Eve, I have a lot to do. I mean, a lot to do. But this is no different than most Christmases. Seems that every year there is a lot to do and a lot to find. Seems each and every year there are things that are hard to find at Christmas. At my house, it seems each year it's hard to find working Christmas lights. Each and every year, I pack up working Christmas lights. And I buy the kind that says if one goes out, the rest stay lit. But it never fails. When I go to put them back up, I end up with whole sections out. You got light, no light, and light. And after checking what seems to be an endless number of them, I just end up pitching the whole strand and start over. And for those that do the holiday shopping, you know that on your list, there's always that one thing you can't find. And this year, things are even harder. Whether it's the right kind of sprinkles for the cookies or that one toy that every store seems to be out of. And speaking of gifts, sometimes the hardest thing to find at Christmas is the gift for that person who never wants or needs anything. You know that person? When my dad was alive, he was that way. And every year my wife would ask, "So what are we getting your dad this year?" And my response every year is, "I don't know. I didn't know what to get him because he's the hardest person in the world to buy for. He's not very sentimental. If we got him pictures of the kids and put them in frames, they would end up sitting in a drawer somewhere. He had all the tools he needed. He had no hobbies. He was just hard to find a gift for." And I don't know about you, but some Christmases, the hardest thing to find is time. Work parties, school programs, family functions, church things, decorating, cooking, baking, and shopping. And in the end, we're all in search of happiness. You know, happiness, that truly Merry Christmas? Oh, often we're amused for a moment, entertained for a time, or even delighted on occasion. But rarely do we find lasting happiness until we find love. Because isn't that what really matters? A great holiday meal means so much more when you share it with people you love. How about getting a gift from someone out of love and not out of obligation? How about seeing the eyes of someone you love light up when they open your gift? Love is what makes Christmas special. But for many people, love can be the hardest thing to find at Christmas, especially when we get all wrapped up in all the mess that our lives tend to be. Love can be hard to find when our time and money is stretched to the max. We fill up our Christmas season to the point that we often miss out on the love. And as our stress builds and builds, we lose focus. We get edgy. And we get testy. And have you ever had one of those Christmas fights? And think about those people that don't have someone to love or don't have anyone who loves them. How about those people who just don't know how to love? Those people who have never experienced love. We think we know what love is. But all too often, we get it wrong. We confuse passion for love. We think love is giving and getting stuff. We treat love as an obligation or something we can demand. And it reminds me of this old country song.
I was looking for love in all the wrong places. Looking for love in too many faces. Searching for eyes.
Now, obviously, he's talking about a person, but isn't that true about us? We're looking for love, but we're really looking for gratification. We're looking for love in all the wrong places. Have you ever gone shopping and shopping and shopping to find someone that perfect gift, and you give it to them and you get something back from them that they put absolutely no effort into? You're like, oh, thanks for the soap set. Right? I mean, you searched high and low. You worked hard. Maybe you knitted and you sewed and you did this and you put everything into it. And then you get disappointed. But did you put all that work into that gift because you love them? Or did you put all that work into that gift because you were hoping to get something back? Do you go to all these family gatherings because you really love people? You know you love them, right? Is it an obligation or is it love? I think we forget that we were created by God with the ability to love. And only in God can love be made perfect. From 1 John 4. Dear friends, let us love one another. For love comes from God. Everyone who has love has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. God is love. That's what the Bible is all about. God's love for us. 66 books of God's love, God's grace, God's mercy. And of course, the story of Christmas. In 1 John, he says, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. See, Christmas is a demonstration of love. God sent his only Son into the world that we might live through him. The Christ of Christmas, our Emmanuel, our Savior. We just sang a hymn that was after a beautiful poem. And I just think we don't often sing that hymn a lot. And we often, when we sing hymns, don't really pay attention to the words. But I think these words are very poignant. It says, love came down at Christmas. Love all lovely, love divine. Love was born at Christmas. Stars and angels gave the sign. Worship we the Godhead, love incarnate, love divine. Worship we our Jesus, but wherewith for sacred sign? Love shall be our token. Love be yours and love be mine. Love to God and all men. Love for plea and gift and sign. Love came down at Christmas. That is the message all too often we lose. Christmas is about love. And it's not just about God's love to us, but as John writes, about our love for others. He says in verse 11, dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. When we find love, when we truly experience God's love, then how can we keep it to ourselves? There are hundreds of cute TV movies that tell us how to capture the spirit of Christmas. But you see, they all get it wrong. We like to think of the spirit of Christmas as that tree and the fireplace and everybody just kind of gathered around, right? But the only spirit of Christmas is the Holy Spirit. And only through the Holy Spirit can we really experience God's love. So how can we only fully experience God's love? Look at the last line of that verse. It says, if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. So if we want to find Christmas in the chaos, if we want to find the love, it's got to start here. His love is made complete in us. And when you find that love, when you find that completeness, that is an amazing feeling. It's amazing how your perspective changes when you find his love in you. 1 John 3 writes, this is how we know what love is. Now right here, this is a great statement. This is how we know what love is. If there is one absolute truth you ever get out of the Bible, this is one of them. It says, this is how we know what love is. That Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. But this is where many of us stop with our Christianity. We accept God's love. We accept Jesus is our Savior. And we come to church and see what we can get out of it. Have you ever left here saying, well, that music was awful today. Oh, that sermon was boring. He went on and on. Have you ever left here saying, hardly anyone shook my hand? I just really didn't get anything out of that service. Do you see what all those things are pointing to? Me. I. What if you changed your attitude and instead of coming to church for what you get out of it, why don't you come to the attitude of what can I give to someone else at church? Why don't you come to church and make someone else's day with a hug or a handshake? Instead of looking to see what you can get out of the sermon, maybe you can listen to the sermon to say, hey, what message can I get to go and share with other people? You have to remember that the church needs you as much as you need the church. And if you miss a Sunday, if you have a day that you're here but not really here because you're caught up somewhere else in your mind, if you miss a Sunday, then you're missing out on not only receiving love, but you're missing out on giving love. And this is also how we know what love is. Verse 17, if anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? And here's the real key. And this is where we really begin to find Christmas. Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. See, Christmas is about love in action, about love in the name of God. 1 Corinthians 13 is a famous wedding passage, although it's not really written specifically about marriage. It's written about our daily lives as Christians. But how appropriate is it for Christmas? We'll start at verse 4, 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. And because Christmas is love, this is what Christmas should and shouldn't be. Christmas is about patience. Christmas is about kindness. Christmas is not about envy. It is not about boasting or pride. During Christmas, we do not dishonor others. Christmas is not about what we get out of it. Christmas should be free of anger, and Christmas should never be about counting the wrongs of others. Christmas does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Christmas should always be about providing protection, trust, hope, and perseverance. And because God loves us, and we love God, this is what we should look like year round. But this should be no more evident, or especially evident, during the time of Christmas. So do you really want to find Christmas in the chaos? Do you really want to find what the Christmas spirit is all about? Then it has to start right here. And look at this slide here. Put your name in each of those blanks and see how well your Christmas is going. Scott is patient. Scott is kind. Scott does not envy. Scott does not boast. Man, I got to stop. Guilty. 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 This is the real test of Christmas. Do you have Christmas in your heart? Now, this is the hard part right here. Because this is audience participation. I'm going to make you do this. So when I point to you, you're going to say your name out loud. Each of you. So let's practice. You failed already. Come on now. And if you're following along at home, there's no excuse. You do it too. All right, ready? Here we go. Is patient. Is kind. Does not envy. Does not boast. Is not proud. Does not dishonor others. Is not self-seeking. Is not easily angered. Does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. Always protects. Always trusts. Always hopes, always perseveres. It's not fun to hold the mirror up in front of your face, is it? Has that been your Christmas season? Have you been able to find love this year in the midst of chaos? If you seek love, not from the Christmas season, but instead seek love through the Christ child, you will find true love. And only when you find that love can you get a taste of what Christmas truly means. And when you find that real love, that pure love from Jesus Christ, you can't help but to express that love with other people. So if we want to find Christmas in the chaos, we need to first look up. Then we need to look in. And then we need to look out. I pray these words come true for you this Christmas. Love came down at Christmas. Love all lovely, love divine. Love was born at Christmas. Stars and angels gave the sign.
Let us discover the real love. I mean, we sing about all these songs of angels singing. This is when the spiritual world of heaven and earth crossed over. Because God sent His Son out of heaven to be born as a man. So that we all people, could experience God's love in full. And we can only experience God's love in full and when we come to Him and seek His forgiveness, we seek His redemption. And when we remove that sin out of our lives, God forgives us and His love begins to fill us. When we take that love and we share that love, then we have Christmas. Let us not depend on a tree. Let us not depend on some lights. Let us not depend on some Christmas carols or the perfect song on the radio to put us in the mood for Christmas. Because don't we do that? Oh, I need to get in the Christmas spirit. I need to get in the Christmas mood. And you pick out your favorite hymns or your favorite songs. And you go, ah. And then 10 minutes later, you're just as aggravated as you were before. Right? But when you discover Jesus and the trials come and you say, it's all right because I've got Jesus. And when you can go to Christmas dinner and sit down and look somebody in the eyes and say, I love you. When you can hold someone who hasn't been held for a long time. When you can forgive someone. When you can put things aside and restore and rebuild relationships. That, friends, is real Christmas. That is real love. Let it not be about the stuff. Let it not be about a perfect pie or a perfect dinner. Let it be about the love that you share with one another because of the love that you have received from the Father. Now let us go in His love and in His name. Go now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you.